Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 33, Activities of Kapila, Text 22.
Tameva jayati devam, apatyam kapilam harim, babuvacharito vatsa, nispriha tadrise grihe, Tameva jayati devam, apatyam kapilam harim, babuvacharito vatsa, nispriha tadrise grihe, Tameva jayati devam, apatyam kapilam harim, Babu vachirato vatsa, nitspriha tadvise grihe.
Translation. O Vidura, thus always meditating upon her son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kapiladeva, she very soon became unattached to her nicely decorated home.
Purport.
Here is a practical example of how one can elevate oneself in spiritual advancement by Krishna consciousness. Kapiladeva is Krishna, and he appeared as the son of Devahuti. After Kapiladeva left home, Devahuti was absorbed in thoughts of him, and thus she was always Krishna conscious. Her constant situation in Krishna consciousness enabled her to be detached from hearth and home. Unless we are able to transfer our attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no possibility of becoming freed from material attachment. The Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, confirms that it is not possible for one to become liberated by cultivation of empirical philosophical speculation. Simply knowing that one is not matter but spirit soul or Brahman does not purify one's intelligence. Even if the impersonalist reaches the highest platform of spiritual realization, he falls down again to material attachment because of not being situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The devotees adopt the devotional process, hearing about the Supreme Lord's pastimes and glorifying his activities, and thereby always remembering his beautiful eternal form. By rendering service, becoming his friend or his servant, and offering him everything that one possesses, one is able to enter into the kingdom of God. As it is said in Bhagavad Gita, Tato Mam Tattato Jata, after discharging pure devotional service, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in fact, and thus one becomes eligible to enter into his association in one of the spiritual planets. Om Agyanat Chirmadandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasavi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Everyone likes practical examples. And so here you get a powerful, practical example. Devahuti is a mother. She's a wife. And she has a very beautiful home. Yet, she's able to detach herself from her very beautiful home because she's always thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She's always thinking about her son. And because of her qualification, her son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. It is practical. How to pack your day with Krishna thought and Krishna activity. That is what we're doing here. We are not trying for religious theory. We're not trying for theology. We are trying for absorption in Krishna. And that way you directly experience the Supreme Personality of Godhead through purified senses. Everything that we do in our bhajan, our worship of the Supreme Lord, our seva, our devotional service, it all brings about direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in ways that are imperceptible to your ordinary senses. Just like the chanting of the Sanskrit verse at the beginning of class. You might be thinking, well, I don't know this language. I'll probably never know it. So what is the point in reciting these exotic words? But as you become more and more purified, you'll begin to realize that you are associating with Krishna by chanting the shlokas, the verses of the Bhagavatam. In the beginning, you can't perceive that. Maybe in the beginning you perceive that, I don't understand these activities, but they do seem to produce some kind of clearing effect on my mind, and I actually start to feel a bit happy. Later, you'll understand that the fog in your mind is clearing, and you're starting to taste a little bit of spiritual bliss because you are directly associating with the Supreme Personality of God. This always has to be remembered. Sometimes younger devotees wonder, why is it that some older devotees, they slacken in their devotional habits, or they're not as enthusiastic as they were when they were fresh out of the material world. That happens because if you're not sharp and dedicated in your spiritual habits, you partially lose the vision that the activities of Krishna consciousness give you direct association with the Lord. If you truly understand that the processes of devotional service give you Krishna's direct association, then you're very hungry for consuming, for gobbling up all opportunities to serve Krishna. But the material world is the atmosphere of forgetfulness. That's just the way it is. You have to be mindful of that. Be mindful of the nature of the environment you live in. It's one of forgetfulness. First of all, you forgot your previous death. Secondly, you can't even remember your birth in this lifetime. It's like Kendra's just had a son, but 2 years from now, even 2 years from now, if your son can speak then, I don't know if they speak at the age of two, but he won't remember his birth. He will not remember. That is the nature of material life, forgetfulness. Yet as we become older, we become proud of how much we know, how much we can remember. We can't even remember our past death. We can't even remember our birth in this lifetime. And more than that, we don't even know who we are, yet we're so busy. Let us understand the nature of the environment we live in. Just like you know the climate here in Christchurch. Someone from another part of the world will know the climate there. So what is the climate of the material world? Forgetfulness. The atmosphere militates against remembering your spiritual identity. The atmosphere puts clouds over the reality. Don't just wander around in this world thinking you're seeing everything as it is. That's like a foolish little child walking around in a dangerous neighborhood or walking on a dangerous street where there's so much traffic. The child just thinks, oh, everything is all right. No, you have to see with the eyes of knowledge that you're living in a dangerous atmosphere which causes forgetfulness of your mission in life, causes forgetfulness of your true identity, and causes forgetfulness even of material things in your life, not just spiritual, but even material. Death is material. You can't remember your previous death. Birth is material. You can't remember being born. Although, as I always point out, if someone forgets to celebrate your birthday, you'll be very angry. But you can't remember your birth. Let's see how powerful you are. Like I was talking with Danny yesterday about universities and studying IT, information technology. But none of the students there can remember their birth. But through information technology, the world will be a better place. No one can remember what they're supposed to remember. They can't even remember that they should try to remember who they are. That they forgot. This is the situation. So, please have a practical understanding of this world. And don't make the mistake of thinking, now I'm an older devotee, I don't have to hear about these things anymore. I know all that stuff. We have to look at our life and see what is the true level of our realization. Understanding you're not the body does not depend on your years in Krishna consciousness. Understanding the nature of the material illusion does not depend on how many years you've been practicing Krishna consciousness. Everything depends on the quality of your individual practice, your dedication. Krishna consciousness is not mechanical. It depends on the voluntary efforts of the heart. So someone may be externally practicing Krishna consciousness, apparently, for 15, 20 years. But still, they may not have gotten to the point of understanding the truth of material misidentification with the body, the truth of material existence. We have to judge by the symptoms, not by the time that you... Time you're spending practicing Krishna consciousness, we can see, is not always a very good indicator. We have to see what is the result. Sometimes people say, well, it shouldn't matter seeing what a person's spiritual status is. That's all invisible anyway. No one can see it. Well then why, to take a material example, do people go to university, get so many degrees? Because they want to make their, they want it to make obvious, to make visible what their status is. Similarly, in spiritual life, certain things should be obvious. Detachment from the bodily conception of life. Understanding the nature of material illusion. Attachment to Krishna's service. Dedication to satisfying Krishna in spite of the usual material inconveniences of this world. Appreciation of the association of devotees. Devotion to one's spiritual master. Appreciation of the Vaishnavas. Love to chant and dance with the devotees. These things are visible. And if they're not there, we have to conclude there's been some defect in the execution of the Krishna conscious process. Now, it goes without saying that following the regular principles has to be there. And certainly, the proper chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The fact is, if you just stick steadfastly to the determined execution of devotional service, you will see Krishna face to face. Our main problem in the Western world is impatience. We want everything instant. That's why I'm speaking more and more now about making a lifetime career of Krishna consciousness. What is a lifetime? So short. Few decades, that's all, then your life is over. So rather than thinking of Krishna consciousness as something you did when, something you chose to do when you were a young adult, you got burned out trying to enjoy, and then you go, ah, yes, let me be Krishna conscious. You don't know how long it's going to last, but anyway, it seems to be the right thing to do right now. Now, look at your lifetime development in bhakti yoga, and then you'll be able to deal with your life properly. Because of Devahuti's attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she was easily able to let go of material attachments. That is the natural process of spiritual development. It doesn't happen any other way. The point is that we should hanker for the opportunity to become so absorbed in devotional service that we'll forget our material body. Forgetting the material body means you'll forget the material demands of your material body. That's how it's done. Yes, with our intelligence, we have to analyze and understand how we are being cheated by the illusory energy presentations. Simultaneously, though, we need to keep a sufficient level of dedicated absorption in devotional service so that we will have that chance to forget the material body, forget the material demands of the body. Don't miss out on that opportunity. Sometimes devotees, they say, oh, will I ever get beyond this body? Will I ever get beyond the mind? They're always, the body and mind are always pushing me, haunting me, dragging me down. Yes, if you're determined, year after year, to absorb yourself in devotional activities, you'll forget the material body and its demands. It'll start to fade more and more into the background. And then you'll be very content spiritually. Because you've made the right choice to put Krishna activities in the center of your life. Very soon, Krishna takes the center of your consciousness, and then you're so grateful. Now you can accelerate that process by not only dedicating yourself to Krishna consciousness, but also being determined to distribute Krishna consciousness to others. There's no point in making excuses that, oh, I have a service that doesn't allow me to approach others with Krishna consciousness. You have a very difficult time finding services that in some way don't allow you to reach out to others. I've seen it all over the world. You might say, what about a pujari in the temple all the time offering puja to the deity? I've seen pujaris as soon as some guest comes to the temple, because the pujari is always around the altar, the deity kitchen. Immediately, they take care of the guest. They give the guest some mahaprasad, and they race back onto the altar. Or no one is around, and it's a midday artik, and the pujari is singing for the pleasure of the deity, and some guest walks in. You have to have that desire in your heart to distribute Krishna consciousness to others, to see how all the activities in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement are for the purpose of personal transformation and distribution of Krishna consciousness. This is the way to accelerate your absorption in Krishna's service, by having a heart of compassion that doesn't become flustered when material nature doesn't prepare a royal road for you to do everything. If you're waiting for that, you're going to be waiting a long time. Or when material nature makes everything easy for you to be Krishna conscious and to distribute Krishna consciousness. Is that the job of Maya? Have you ever heard Maya say, I'll make it easy for you? No. What does Krishna say about Maya? Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dratya. This material energy of mine is practically impossible to overcome. You can't see your way through it. But if you surrender to me, if you absorb yourself in Krishna conscious activities, you'll cross over the impediments of Maya without difficulty. So there you have the definitive statement, Krishna's honest presentation of what the environment is all about. Don't sit around waiting for the material energy to make a royal road for you. Now, Krishna makes the royal road, in spite of the impediments of the material energy. So if you see impediments around you in the material world, impediments caused by the material energy, by the material body, by the material mind, then congratulations, you're seeing reality. But that's not the end of the matter. In spite of those impediments offered by material energy, material body and mind, material circumstances, you can still be Krishna conscious because Krishna paves the royal road in spite of the material impediments. That is the point. That is how it works. So don't just sit back and wait for ideal material circumstances when it all clicks. You'll be waiting a long time. Learn how to depend on Krishna now. And it's a great lesson you'll never forget when you see that Krishna builds the royal road in spite of the material impediments. That is how to become a strong devotee. Furthermore, don't protest if Krishna deems you worthy of putting you in the fire of purification. Don't start lamenting, oh, why me, why this, why that. Krishna is the expert lover. He knows how much each devotee can take. What is natural? We always say, oh, I can't take this. This is too much. This is the last straw. Krishna doesn't think it's the last straw. We're always quick, though. That's it. That's it. That's it. I told myself such and such happened. That would be it. Krishna, you should have known that. Why did you let it happen? That's it. I'm withdrawing my devotion. Oh, I won't withdraw my devotion completely, but I'll just, you know, become a bit tepid in my devotional service. I'll become a mature devotee. So, Krishna knows exactly how much each devotee can take. Now, we may not think that, and yes, I agree, sometimes the circumstances in this world can become so difficult that you're just crying out. But still, you approach Krishna and say, Krishna, for some reason you think I can handle this. I can if you help me. So since you put me in this situation, now you kindly help me. That's what Krishna likes to hear. We're a bunch of grumblers and complainers, though. Oh, why did you do this to me? It's too much. You didn't do it to the other devotee, but you did this to me. I can't handle this. But Krishna thinks you can handle it. Therefore, Krishna has you in that situation. You have to know how to take your reward, your compensation. No one pays out like Krishna does in terms of compensation for devotees who undergo a difficult situation. In fact, by your dedication to Krishna in spite of the difficult situation, you become so dear to Krishna. And that's what the whole process is all about. How to become dear to Krishna. If you hang on through thick and thin and remain absorbed in Krishna's service, if you're a tested devotee who's been through the fire of purification, the fire of ordeal, then you become very dear to Krishna. And he personally makes it possible for you to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. That is the whole point. Mountains can crumble around us. The earth can split open. The seas can wash over all the land. Still, devotional service goes on, and Krishna takes us back to Godhead. So this is the kind of conviction we need. Year after year, decade after decade, even if you're just right here in this small city of Christ Church, if you just cling tightly to the processes of devotional service and the chance to absorb yourself in devotional service, you'll see Krishna, you'll go back to Godhead. But the problem is impatience. This is the disease of the Western world. If you go to India, in the villages, you don't see that impatience problem. No one's in a rush. They have some traditional understanding that life will play itself out, and if you just do the right things, in time you'll get the result. But Westerners are so passionate, so impatient. You have to do everything immediately. Just like when you're a teenager. As soon as you're a teenager, 12 or 13, if not before, you have to take intoxication. You have to have illicit sex. You have to. Now, now, now. Everyone's doing it. Now, now. All your teenage friends encourage, let's go, let's do it. Now, now, now. No one can wait for anything. If you're fortunate, you come to Krishna consciousness. But sometimes you bring your impatience with you. Oh, I've been here one whole year. And still my mind has bad thoughts. I don't know. Will the process work? I've been here 2 years. And still when I chant Hare Krishna, other thoughts come into my mind. What about your whole life? Stick to the process of bhakti with determination. 20, 30 years, and then talk about the result. Oh, 20 or 30 years. Oh, that's a long time. It's not a long time. Now you may be 20 years old. Just see how fast your life has passed. Similarly, the next 20 will pass very quickly. This is our greatest problem. We lack the ability to carry through with our spiritual endeavors over a lifetime. This is due to cultural destruction. Basically, all that persons can do for material purposes, they have a range of generally it's about 3 or 4 years. You can prepare yourself for a material goal. And if you're a special materialist, 8 years. To be a doctor, 8 years. That's like, wow. Maybe some of you who go to university remember thinking like that. 8 years to be a doctor. Is it 8 years here in New Zealand or six? Eight years. Wow. Long time. 3 or 4 years. That's as much as I can think, you know. Maybe I get a diploma after 2 years, and a degree after 3 years, but 8 years. Some people tend to glorify those who have spent many years at university being a lawyer or a doctor. Like, wow, you really did it. I mean, I could never do that. 8 years of my life. Long time. We bring that attitude to Krishna consciousness. All right. I got bewildered in material life. I got burned out. I'll plug into devotional service for a few years and see what happens. And then we realize that I've gotten myself into something that's going to consume my whole life. Yes. Now what are you going to do about that? Krishna is so attractive. And yes, Krishna wants every aspect of our life. And why not? If we can keep ourselves legitimately connected to Krishna, we'll always feel that attraction. I remember once Srila Prabhupada, he was in Montreal, and he was with one or two devotees, and he just started laughing, and laughing, and laughing. And the devotees were just looking at him like, what's going on? Prabhupada just laughed and laughed and laughed. And finally, he stopped laughing for a long time. He said, once they come to Krishna, they are caught. Some are out of their court by the prasad, by the books, by the association of devotees. The fact is, even those who apparently drop their Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, they're still caught. They pick it up again in their next life. We are dealing with activities of eternity. We have to let that reality sink in. And there's no doubt, some of you practiced some Krishna consciousness in your previous life. That's why maybe you were able to take to it so easily in your teenage years. It may not just be because you got burned out. It may be that you practiced Krishna consciousness in your previous life, and therefore you could pick it up in your teenage years. We don't know. It could very well be that you had substantial Krishna conscious engagement in your previous life. So that's the point. Somehow or other, if you come to Krishna, you're caught. Your life is never the same. The Bhagavatam makes that point about even those who go away from Krishna consciousness. They're not regular materialist enjoyers. They have the mark on them. They can't get it out of their system. They may struggle in this lifetime to forget Krishna, but in the next lifetime it comes back again. And why should we want to get away from Krishna? So much of our process is about understanding the greatness of Krishna. The more you understand Krishna, the more you'll be attracted. That's why we want to understand Krishna. So our attraction increases. What does the Lord explain in Bhagavad Gita? Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mamupashrita bahavo jnana tapasa bhuta mad bhavam agata. Krishna explains what is the process and says many, many persons have succeeded in this process. How do they do it? Vitaraga bhaya krodha, becoming free from raga, attachment. Bhaya, fear, and krodha, anger. That's what material life is all about. Attachment to material things. Then, because of that attachment to material things, there must be bhaya, fear. You all have experienced this. You finally got what you want. At the same time, you were fearful. I might lose it. Someone else could take it. Or maybe it's not really what I want. And the anxiety just goes on and on and on. Anxiety is the product of material attachment. It must be there. Have you found any material attachment in this world which doesn't involve fear and anxiety? Just like a few days ago, we were speaking about the second richest man in the world. And you know what his fear is? You know what his anxiety is? That there's someone who's number one, it's not him. He's got a complex about that. So therefore he always has to push himself forward, you know. He's not number one. Bill Gates has more. He's the number one. I'm not number one. He has that anxiety. You think, hey, shouldn't you be satisfied being worth $26 billion? No. I don't get all the credit, I don't get all the attention. The other guy does. This is how material nature works. Now you would say, if I had 26 billion, if I just had 26 million, if I just had 26,000, I'd be so satisfied. No, it doesn't work like that. If you think like that, you're in complete illusion. The job of the material energy is to make sure you're not satisfied with anything. Every married man in Krishna consciousness knows that. Every married man in Krishna consciousness knows. Without the Krishna conscious dharma, you would not be satisfied with one wife. You'd have to have something on the side. Every married man knows it. Only because of Krishna conscious dharma, you're able to remain faithful. But otherwise, it's the normal male psychology to wander. not to be satisfied with one woman. That's just the way it is. And the men expect the ladies to understand that. If the ladies ever find out their husband's been wandering, the men always give this, the same old explanation. She was just a toy. She wasn't the real thing. You are the real thing. How could you ever think that I, you know, took her so seriously? It was just a momentary, you know, entertainment. But you're the main thing. And they expect the wife to understand that. Oh, all right, all right. Some of them do say like that. Men will be men. Others, they just flip out completely. How could you do this to me? I gave you everything. And you went off with that scamp. But the man pretends, it was just for a day. What's the big deal? You know, I mean, you know, what do you want out of me? You know, these things happen. Men think like that. They expect the lady to understand. You know, it was just a momentary thing. You know, it wasn't like I was investing my whole heart in her. My heart belongs to you. It was just a little toy to play with for a while, you know? I didn't want to bother you. Better I bother her. They say like that. That's the nature of the material energy. You can't be satisfied. One devotee, I won't tell you who it is, in New Zealand, she told me how when she was 11 or 12 at home with mother and father, at that time, they had people who deliver milk to the door. They still have that, people who deliver milk to the door. Well, this milkman was a milk lady. And so whenever the milk lady would come to the door with the milk, she watched her father disappear out the door to help the milk lady deliver milk to other houses. And, you know, even she was 12 years old, she knew what was going on. And the mother was all in tears and she threatened to leave the father, and then the father, he got down on his knees and begged her. It's just a milk lady, it's just a little entertainment we had, you know, little. But you are the real thing, my family. That's how men think. They can't be satisfied unless there's dharma, unless there's the Krishna conscious taste. It's not possible for a man to be satisfied with just his wife. That's a basic fact of life. Therefore, I've seen this all over the world. A main motivation for many ladies to come to Krishna consciousness is they think, I'll have the weight of the system behind me. if he's gonna be a real devotee, he can't cheat on me. Therefore, I'm going to become Krishna conscious. I see that. It's a very prime motivation. In Krishna consciousness, the man can't cheat. Okay, great. I got the Shastra on my side, the deities on my side, the Guru on my side. Really, I think like that. He can't wander. He can't stray. It's a very important thing for them. So that's the nature of the material energy. You cannot be satisfied with it. Although it presents itself to you that you're going to be so satisfied by doing this. You're going to be so fulfilled. Now you may say, oh, I know all that. I've realized all that. I've heard it so many times. I'm an older devotee. But how much have we realized those things? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's program is that we hear these kind of things again and again. I remember once seeing Srila Prabhupada at the Rath Yatra in our Festival of Chariots in San Francisco, Golden Gate Park. And I saw him. He was speaking, and it was 1975. And he, for the thousandth time, he began giving his example about watering the tree at the root by serving Krishna. Everything else is taken care of. And he just started, I have said it so many times, you water the tree at the root, you take the food to the mouth, and the whole body nourishes. And then it hit me, finally, that time, although I had heard it so many times, by repeated hearing, things start to click. But because of the instant, impatient Western culture. As soon as you hear something you heard before, oh, I already heard that. That's not new. Tell me something new. That is not the process of Krishna consciousness. The process of Krishna consciousness is repeated hearing. And then you'll become humble. Through repeated hearing, you'll realize, although I've heard it 100 times, I still haven't realized it. And then you'll beg Krishna, please, give me some understanding. But as long as we are attached to this instant, impatient culture, Maharaj, tell me something I haven't heard before. Give me some, you know, esoteric details, you know, that no other Maharaj has come through here and said. Our process is repeated hearing. And then real humility develops. You start to think, I've heard this so many times, I still don't realize it. What's wrong with me? And then you beg Krishna. That's good when you have that reaction. I've read these books so many times, but it just seems like it's just a bottomless ocean. I could think, how many times have I read chapter 33 of the third canto? I've been reading since 1973, reading these things. But every time I look at the page, it's like, This depth is just unlimited. So that's the value of repeated hearing. Therefore, it's important for devotees to learn shlokas, to learn verses, to meditate on the verses, to meditate on the purports. You'll get that feeling of going deeper and deeper. You'll enter into the timeless culture of Krishna consciousness. So, Lord Krishna says, Vita Raga Bhayakrodha. There's Raga, material attachment, then there's Bhaya, fear, automatically. And then Krodha, anger, because you're unfulfilled. You didn't get what you wanted, so you become angry. Vita Raga Bhayakrodha Mamupasrita. Take shelter of Krishna. Become fully absorbed in Krishna. You'll become purified. What are the three enemies to your spiritual advancement? Whether you're a young devotee or an old devotee, you have certain enemies. Raga, attachment to the bodily conception of life. By a fear of having a spiritual identity. This is a harder one to deal with. That's why impersonalism is so popular. People are actually afraid of being a person again. They're afraid of being an individual. They're afraid to understand there is a supreme individual with a body of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. This goes contrary to everything they thought spiritual life would be. What about just like an all-pervading spiritual energy? The white light, you just mix with it. Or like drops of water merging into the ocean. Yes, that sounds spiritual. But spiritual individuality, spiritual personality, where have we ever seen such a thing? So people actually become fearful about having a spiritual identity. It takes a while in Krishna consciousness to understand how much impersonalism is behind so many of our problems. You don't want to be a person, and you don't want others to be a person. And then, Krodha, anger. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita purports of this verse, sometimes people become angry that there's so many spiritual books, so many spiritual teachers, so many spiritual theories. How do you know what's what? It's rejected all. There's too many choices out there in the spiritual marketplace. Forget it all. And then, after that anger hits you, you turn to intoxication. That'll just solve everything. Give me some alcohol, some marijuana, some drugs. I worry about all this spiritual stuff. Just get stoned. Yes, it's a very popular alternative. Just have a good time. This spiritual path says it's the only way. That spiritual path says it's the only way. This guru says he's God. That guru says serve God. any alternatives. Ah, it's just too much. You actually get angry. It's a very sophisticated understanding Srila Prabhupada is giving us this presentation. Nevertheless, if you take shelter of Krishna through devotional service, you'll become purified. And Krishna gives you that confidence. He's a person. Because he's a person, he knows how to give you reassurance and confidence, just like we discussed 2 days ago. Kapila gave Devahuti reassurance when she expressed her gratitude. He said, yes, you are on this path, this will be the result, it will happen. And it will happen easily for you. So, Krishna also gives reassurance as the original personality of Godhead. Bahavo Jnana Tapasa. Many, many persons have already done this. They've become purified by knowledge and austerity. They've attained me. They develop bhava. Puta mad bhavam agata. They've developed the preliminary stage to praying. It's already happened many, many times. Try to understand that your material misbehavior came about mainly because of bad association. How many of you remember, as a little kid, on your own becoming attracted to illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling? No! It was something that happened to you because of your association, your sangha. Yes, of course, when you were 12 years old or so, the hormones in your body changed. So you develop this attraction for the opposite sex. But just think back. The whole pursuance of the opposite sex was instilled in you by association. Those of you associated with started talking about it. It starts out very innocently. I can see it in some devotees' children when they become 12 years old. The girls start, does he like me? Does he like me? That's the start. That's how it starts. And then according to your association, things get more complicated. Your association, who you're hanging out with, they start buzzing with talk about, this is what you do, this is like that, and your head starts to spin with the possibilities, all by association. Similarly, how many of you came out of the womb with meat in your mouth? No. It was taught to you by your association. The first thing when you were born is that you're fed milk. Then at what age is it that they start giving the bacon bits, you know, the baby food? What age does that start? 6 months. Yes. Otherwise, before that, you were just taking your mother's milk. But then, due to your association, you develop the inclination for meat. As you become an older child, your parents tell you meat's very important, gives you red blood. It makes you healthy and strong. You learned it all by association. Otherwise, you were not attracted to meat eating. Just think about that. Similarly, the absorption of illicit sex came through association. Association is not simply friends, but is also television, radio, newspapers, magazines. That's also sangha. And then intoxication. That one is easy to see. It all came about because of your friends. Try this one. We're all doing it. It's cool. And what do you usually respond with? Try it. I've already done it. Even if you haven't, you always say like that. I've already done it. Yeah, sure. And then you pretend that you take it and you pretend that you've done it many times before, just to be known as cool. It all happens through sangha. Similarly, Krishna consciousness will come to you in that way. From the beginning stages of bhakti to the most advanced levels, it all comes through association. Therefore, we need the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to give you the sangha for developing at all levels of bhakti. It's not just that the new devotees need sangha. Yeah, they need that in order to be enthusiastic. But we've been there, we've done that. We've internalized it all. Actually, one older devotee told me this. I don't have to chant my rounds every day. I've already internalized it. Yes, these things happen. There's always going to be some patients who do not follow the doctor's order. That's just the way it is. But there are going to be some who do follow the doctor's order. So, even at the highest levels of Krishna consciousness, good association is required. When you start to become qualified to discuss rasa, that's also required in the association of devotees. Everything from beginning to end in bhakti always involves association of devotees. In the association of advanced devotees, you see things in Srila Prabhupada's books that you did not see when you were a young devotee. You see all the secrets of the relationships with Krishna, things you just read and passed over completely. As you become a mature devotee, these things jump out of the page at you. This is not a material process, it is a spiritual process. Please remember, you are here for a lifetime of absorption in Krishna's service. Keep that centerfold in your consciousness. Tolerate the inconveniences. Tolerate the ups and downs of material life. Just remain attached to Krishna's lotus feet. You'll get the result. All right, any questions? Right. It's still a material impediment because in spiritual life, in pure spiritual life, there are no impediments. So, if within the spiritual context an unfortunate material impediment happens, that's Krishna's problem. He'll deal with it. It's Krishna's problem. You have to have the patience to see how Krishna is solving the problem. But your spiritual life goes on. If you remain at Krishna's lotus feet, your spiritual life goes on. Krishna doesn't penalize you for something that's not your fault. You may have to beg Krishna for the vision to see that. And in fact, by remaining attached to Krishna through the difficulties of this world, you become more dear to Krishna. He becomes more indebted to you. So actually what seemed to be a great setback can turn into an opportunity for higher Krishna consciousness. Because anyone can be a devotee in easy circumstances. But when you're put into the fire of ordeal, and Krishna likes to do that for sincere devotees, he wants to quicken their progress back to Godhead. We complain, but Krishna wants to quicken our progress. So it's always a great learning experience how, in the midst of difficulties, whether in the material or spiritual context, Krishna gives himself more to his devotee. That you have to have the patience to see. Open your eyes and see how you're getting Krishna consciousness anyway. Even Devahuti, she's very cool and calm. Her husband's left home. Now her son is left home. She misses her son. But still, she's so absorbed in Krishna's service that she's, even though she has a very nice decorated home, she's not attached to it. That's a very powerful example. It's very difficult for people not to be attached to their nice homes, opulent homes. Especially a lady. For a lady, her home is like her, you know, it's her world. But Devahuti wasn't attached. She was cool and calm in all circumstances. That is the way to be a suitable candidate on the path back to Godhead. And for such devotees, Krishna easily gives himself. But that has to be seen. If we just meditate on the impediment, the difficulty that we encountered, oh, why did this, why that? Better we meditate on how Krishna is still giving himself to me anyway. How it is I'm still going back to Godhead anyway. In fact, you might be going quicker. That's a much better way to look at the situation. Krishna is not a cheater. How long does it take for us to realize this? We always get more than we deserve. Still, it is a fact. We get into our lamentation modes. I remember, when did my lamentation begin? When I was a new devotee, after 3 weeks, they put me on full-time sankirtan, 7 days a week. Friday and Saturday meant from 9 a.m. till 3 a.m. And I used to lament, oh, I can't do this, oh, it's too much. But at the same time, I was determined to do it because Srila Prabhupada wanted the message of Krishna consciousness distributed. So, as I've explained before, I remember when I was a 6-month devotee out on traveling sankirtan book distribution at some university campus, I think it was University of Oklahoma, and I just started crying, why do I have to do this? But I wanted to please Srila Prabhupada, who wanted Srimad Bhagavatam distributed all over the world. Then, 2 years later, I was loving sankirtan so much, loving book distribution so much, I wouldn't give it up for anything. Just 2 years later, after 2 years of doing nothing in terms of results, suddenly I developed a mad attachment to the service. I knew every day I would just float out the temple to the streets. I'll just do this every day of my life. I'll go back to God so easily. This is so wonderful. So just 2 years later, the very thing I was lamenting about, now I was completely attached to. Then I got sick. I started to lament again. Oh no, just when I get this glorious opportunity, this wonderful service. Now I'm sick, I can't do it anymore. Oh, my life, my spiritual life is finished. How will I ever be Krishna conscious? Oh. I can't do any other services. All other services are not the same. Only this service I can do. So in my desperation, only in desperation did I mention to one of my godbrothers, Dravida Prabhu, that, oh yeah, I can do editing, I can do that kind of thing. What? We're desperate for editors. Prabhupada is putting so much pressure on the BBT to produce his books. So immediately I was on a plane 6 hours to Los Angeles. So then my service was just to work on Srila Prabhupada's books night and day. But I still would lament. The sankirtan devotees would come by my office on their way to the airport to distribute, fired up, you know. There I was sitting at my desk, you know. And you know the way sankirtan devotees are. Hey, you know, when are you getting out there? When are you coming out with us? So part of the service, I guess, you know. Yeah. When are you going to do the real service? They didn't realize that unless I did my service, they weren't going to have any books to distribute. But, you know, it's just part of the sankirtan, you know, thing, you know. And I used to lament, oh, I've got bad health. I can't get out there and get the glory. My name is not going to be read out after Mangalarti. Distributing this many books, that many books. Those lamentations goes on and on. You always find something. And then after the two-month Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon was finished, Prabhupada wrote his famous letter, which he said, all those who participate in this marathon will go back to Godhead. I said, well, what's the point of all my lamentation then? What's the point of all my... I obviously don't know what I'm talking about. Then, when Prabhupada left this world in 78, I realized there was not going to be much action at the BBT, so I decided I got to do something to get the special mercy of Srila Prabhupada, otherwise, because that's the only way I'm going to advance in spiritual life. So I went to communist Europe underground. And then I started lamenting again. Oh, this is so hard. Oh, this is impossible. Oh, why am I doing this? Then I heard the statement by Srila Prabhupada before he left. He said, anyone who goes to preach in communist countries gets the special dust of his lotus feet. So, oh, well, yeah, okay. Okay, I can handle that. So this lamentation, you know, it always can always be there. But as we become more and more established in Krishna consciousness, our determination becomes so great, nothing stops our progressive march back to Godhead. Even the so-called greatest upsets can't deter us as long as we remain fixed on the path of bhakti. That is the point. Anyone who remains fixed on the path of bhakti, Krishna will always take care. And in fact, by the difficulties that you've gone through, you're more entitled to Krishna's mercy. Those devotees who go through ordeals, Krishna becomes very, very indebted to. So that's what we have to watch for. How is Krishna reciprocating me? How is Krishna paying me off amidst the difficulties? Watch for that, and then you'll see the inner reality. You'll see the silver lining in the cloud. You get that attitude from good association. Otherwise, it's difficult on your own. Srila Prabhupada once said, anything can be tolerated in good association. Anything. Good association allows you to see Krishna's hand behind everything. And in good association, you become motivated to actually see how Krishna is dragging me back to Godhead in spite of all difficulties. Then you become a very strong devotee and you're capable of helping others to be strong. You see, once you don't have any more problems, relatively speaking, in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna hands you everybody else's problems. That's the way it works. But to get to that point, a relative point in which you don't have any problems, relatively speaking, you have to go through some more deals. Krishna's not cheap. He wants to see how much you care. Even in an ordinary relationship, that tendency is there. So ladies do that all the time, don't they? They want to see, the guy has to show that he really cares. Isn't that so? Yeah. They don't admit these things in public. Every married man knows. You know, if you make a blunder in that department, you don't hear the end of it for the next 20 years. I was just watching to see how you would respond if you really cared. And I saw that you didn't pay any attention. You hear that for the next 20 years. Wow. So, Krishna's the best lover. He's the best partner. He wants to see how attached we are to him. Anyone who's a sincere devotee, they'll go back to Godhead, one way or another. Sometimes we have to open our eyes to see how it's happening, though. Anything else?
Yes.
Attachment to devotional service and the association of devotees. And even if that service means you're not a celebrated servitor, you're not getting fame and glory, but still you do it. That's how you tell sincere devotion. Year after year of dedicated service in the association of devotees. The sincerity starts in the morning with your chanting of japa. Any senior devotee knows, if he or she walks into a temple room and sees the devotees chanting in the temple room after Mangalarti, that's the first indication that there's some sincerity. It's as simple as that. The fact is, if the devotees maintain that year after year, decade after decade, their Krishna consciousness will be very, very easy, even amidst the greatest difficulties. So there are things that can easily be seen for judging sincerity. If you're truly after what Krishna wants to give, you don't mind little inconveniences, little austerities. That's the measure of sincerity. And then, of course, because we're followers of Lord Chaitanya, we really care for the sufferings of others. We cannot tolerate that other people are not becoming Krishna conscious. I always tell devotees here, especially in Christ Church, if you truly understand how the young people of this city are destroying themselves, how can you just sit around content and complacent? It's impossible. But then devotees always ask me, but how do I start preaching? How do I start reaching out to them? You have to start somewhere. It all begins from the heart. And then Krishna gives you intelligence. You just have to reach out. Begin. And Krishna will improve your skills. How did any of us start? You have to start somewhere. I was at my godbrother Dhanadhar Maharaj. He was reminding me something I'd forgotten. I was just a 2-month devotee. I was working the book table at the Sunday feast, and he would come as a guest. He said, really fired up. You didn't let me get away. I mean, yes, you were there 2 months. You were just pouring it on me. I said, you didn't have any doubts after 2 months. I don't remember all. I just remember that, you know, Krishna consciousness should be distributed. You got to start somewhere. And then things just go on and on and on from that point. You're going to be there? All right. Okay. Hare Krishna. All glory to the Prabhupada.